Welcome to the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Gomes.
And I'm Anna Cash.
Here, we come together to bring you a podcast all about preserving food safely, easily, and dare I say perfectly at home.
We are master food preservers, moms, wives, and we love talking about canning. We've decided the world needs a podcast that shares up-to-date, modern, safe information about canning, dehydrating, freezing, freeze-drying, and more.
We answer listener questions, teach beginner and intermediate techniques, and share our very best tips for preserving successfully.
We'll show you how to find trusted recipes, sources, and more so you never have to second-guess your preserving practices again.
Ready to can like a master preserver? Let's get into today's episode.
Welcome back to the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm Anna, here with Jenny in person. Yay! This is so exciting. Okay, so we are going to talk about what's new this summer. What are we excited to preserve?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for a lot of things this summer. And first of all, I'm excited because I think, fingers crossed, that I'm going to get a garden overhaul. Mm. And I'm going to actually get a drip system set up so that my backyard can also produce as well as my front.
Mm.
So I'm hoping to kind of double the size of my garden this year. I don't know if it will happen, but I'm hoping it will.
Well, that influences what you're going to be preserving a lot, really.
Right, right. What are you excited about, Jenny?
So one thing I'm excited about is I don't have a garden. Because I don't have a fence, but those things are in the works. I hope to soon, but I have a huge pot that I thrifted. Huge. It's like half the size of this dining room table.
Hmm.
And in it, I have my pot of rhubarb and it looks so great. It is going to be really great. And I hope to preserve. I love strawberry rhubarb. I love rhubarb, all the things rhubarb. And I really hope to preserve rhubarb this spring. Something I need to make time for is I'm out of bone broth and you cannot can enough bone broth, really. Because once you have it, to me, it is such a superior broth. It is such a good addition and it makes whatever you're cooking that much more flavorful and better. And it is really hard. It's once you cook with it, it's like, it feels, everything else is just pales in comparison. I think it's really, really good. So that is another thing that's kind of on my to-do list. Anna and I are both in the middle of various stages of home renovation, which mine, it kind of feels like, it feels like I need to empty my pantry, not fill it, because I'm going to have to take everything out of the house and it'll have to be out for an unknown amount of time while all kinds of things happen inside. So I kind of am not going to be in a season of pantry stocking so much. Like I'm not going to be canning for next, you know what I mean? I'll be canning for the medium term, not the super long term, because everything that I have that has to come out of the house.
Dang it. I'm so sorry.
So I'm just focused on like what will be delicious in the next couple months, not years.
For the year.
Yeah, not really. Okay, what's next for you?
I am also toying with the idea of doing like really stocking up for the holidays for 2025. Last year, I created the 12 jams of Christmas, which was so fun to do. I did them in little 2-ounce jars and I did 12 different jams. Oh my gosh. And
were a dozen. There's a dozen of them.
Oh my gosh. And they were so cute and I want to spend this year like kind of prepping for that. So when fruit is available, I'm going to start canning them now and getting them ready for the holiday markets. I think they would sell like hotcakes. I only had, I want to say 40 and I sold out of them within.
You had 40 different sets of a dozen?
Yes. I started out, okay, I know this sounds insane. It was insane. My sister Kim said, oh, you should do 12 jams of Christmas. That would be so cute. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be so cute. And I started out just making one for me and one for her. And then I was like, well,
if you're already making a batch.
Yes. And the size amounts that I was getting from Amazon, I think it was like 48 in a box. And so I was
Of the jars?
I may as well do 4. And if I'm doing 4, I may as well do 10. So I started out with 10 and then I just threw it up in my Instagram stories and people were like, I want 3. Are you making more? And I was like, oh my gosh, I hit a spot where I know people would just love them. So I want to work all year so that at Christmas time I can just get enough for everyone. And the only way to do that really with the type of jam making that I do is to do it seasonally.
Yeah.
And just go gangbusters when the fruit is on.
Well, that's kind of how we do most everything.
Gangbusters.
I mean, we're like very moderate people, but also we're just very ambitious. Like, oh, we have time to do one more thing, one more batch, one more project.
Another 40.
I am out of canned tomatoes, and I hate to say it, but I'm out.
What?
I know.
How dare you?
I know, but they take up so much room in the house. But my family misses it, and I do too. So on my list of things to can this season is some tomato sauce. I don't have an Italian grandmother who would roll over in her grave. So I don't peel my tomatoes. I blend them up in the...
For sauce.
Yeah, for tomato sauce. Yeah, when I say canned tomatoes, I do tomato sauce. I think it's the most versatile for what my family eats. I mean, I do like whole tomatoes, but most of the time I just do tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. And I don't peel the tomatoes. I just blitz them up, which saves a lot of time. So that is one other thing on my must can.
What recipe do you use for that? Do you mind sharing?
I don't mind sharing. And I don't know if I remember it off. I couldn't give the quantities off the top of my head. I have it on my blog. Easy tomato sauce, or fast and easy tomato sauce, is what it is. But it was off of a ball recipe, pretty close. But I blended it, and it doesn't have a ton of garlic and onions, but it has a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And then the tomatoes, it's just a pretty basic one.
Okay.
But I like it, and it's not super plain, but it is plain enough that you can church it up and do something different if you want. You know what I mean? It doesn't have a ton of Mediterranean flavor. Sometimes I put a drop of oregano oil in each jar, and that is a really good addition of essential oil.
Wow.
It's a very good, like literally one drop in a pint, and that's all it takes. It gives a very, very good flavor. You know, when you can green herbs, is a completely different side note, but when you can green, like basil and oregano, it's like you can't, the flavor dissipates.
It just breaks down.
Yeah. It's just not there anymore. It's a waste of your time to even put it in. I think.
Yeah. Agreed.
And it looks ugly. If you see like a brown smudge of basil, what a waste. It's a waste of basil. You might as well just put it on a caprese salad and eat it fresh.
Yeah.
That's a different...
Nobody wants a smudge of brown basil.
A smudge of basil. No. That's what you put in compost. But an essential oil in the tomato sauce is a great way to... You're not wasting your time on the greenery because it just doesn't... You can't taste it.
Yeah.
But that's definitely on my need to do this spring and summer. Or summer is definitely some tomatoes. What else is on your list?
We had an episode just yesterday where we talked about foraging for spruce tips,
writing this down,
flowers, or just like wildflower essences into a jelly. And I think that would be so fun to do.
I think it would be fun to experiment with which one really yields the best flavor. Because to say that you've canned lilac jelly is one thing, but like to have it actually impart a floral flavor, I'm not saying that it won't, but I think it's hard. That those flavors are hard to capture and hold on to. So I think it'd be really awesome to try that out. And the one thing that we wrote down, or that I have to make notes when I'm doing a podcast episode. I have to have something written down. So yeah, you will have heard this episode already, or if you didn't, you can go back and check it out. But one type of jam that we wanted to check out was spruce tip jelly. And so I'm in Utah right now at Anna's house to celebrate the launch of my cookbook. But we both went out looking for spruce tips to see if we could either you could pick some or I could have some. I could bring some on the plane, but it was a little bit too early for spruce tips. It's early April, first week of April. So we're fresh out of spruce tips. But the recipe that we looked up just looked... What was that on PBS?
It was beautiful. Yeah. It looked PBS.
It looked so fresh, and it was served with Manchego cheese, I think, and like on rye crackers. It just looked very, very good. Very tasty, it looked like. And then I thought too, not everyone imbibes, and I don't really imbibe very much either, but I thought how great of a cocktail could you make with spruce jelly, but like on the rim of a glass when you make a martini or something. Like I thought you could just get really fun cocktail ideas with that spruce jelly too. So ooh. I won't be making 25 jars of spruce jelly, but would I make
six? But a few is fun.
A few I would try for sure.
Yeah. Or you could do a spruce tip. And when we talk about spruce tips, it's like the new mm-hmm. formation of the branch. It's on the very end and it's like a really bright lime color.
Very bright green.
And you could also make a simple syrup out of that for a cocktail.
Yeah. And you could just put it in the refrigerator and not even can it if you wanted. But we did in that episode. You need to go back and listen to that episode if you did. It was actually, I feel like it's going to be a very popular one because it had a lot of good information.
Yeah.
About making cool syrups and infusions, herbal evergreen infusions.
Yeah.
And now a quick word about our courses.
Want to learn more about canning? Check out our video courses. Anna's beginner and advanced canning courses are available at smarthomecanning.com. And Jenny teaches super fast steam canning at startcanning.com. Use the code POD25, that's POD25, to get 25% off those courses today.
What's next on your list to can besides spruce jelly?
I think just having some different flavors of jelly for Mother's Day coming up is going to be on my list. I think that would be so fun.
Right.
I have a market coming up, an Earth Day birthday at the Botanical Gardens at the end of April. And I was actually over there looking for spruce tips, thinking it would be so fun to go around the Botanical Gardens and find things that I could forage and then make into a jelly and sell at the Earth Day birthday. But not very many things are blooming right now.
That spruce jelly says Earth Day birthday all over it.
I know.
That's very earthy indeed. I can't think of only one flavor that's more earthy. That would be beets.
Pine sap.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. What else for you?
Okay. So I do not have a milk cow, but my sister now has two milk cows and she doesn't live right near me, but she lives close enough to me that I've really caught in the bug. And I consider cheese making to be a type of preservation.
Absolutely.
And I would really love to... in 2024, may not be next week, but I definitely would love to try making some cheese with some of her cow's milk.
Mm.
So,
like what kind of cheese?
I don't know. She's done some soft, and actually, this has been several years ago, but I did have a neighbor who had wonderful milk goats, and I made goat milk, just soft cheese, and I also made mozzarella, and both turned out really great. Cheese making depends on temperatures more than I am accustomed to. So if you also wanted to tip your toe into cheese making, you would need a good quality thermometer. Anna, your favorite thermometer is?
The ThermaWorks ThermaPen 1. It gives you a digital reading in 1 second.
Yeah.
See, it's great.
You would have, I just don't think that there's a way to really do a good job of cheese making without a thermometer like that. I know I did it without it, but it was really pitiful and difficult and inaccurate. I mean, it turned out okay, but I know that having a good thermometer would be a total, really important tool. Total game changer. Yeah, for sure. With the cheese making. But that's something that I would love to try my hand at. And I haven't done a whole lot of. So
I think that's a great idea. If I knew somebody with a milk cow, I would be like, give me milk. let's try it.
I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily been thinking this, but she had such the neither here nor there, but she had one milk cow that was great, fine, dandy, but it was nursing two calves, which is very handy for a rancher because it's the mama to the orphans, right?
Yeah.
So she wasn't getting a volume of milk that I could daydream about, but then she got a second milk cow named Ruth, and Ruth is just gangbusters, super high producing.
Oh.
They're both Jerseys and they're both lovely and they both are very happy to be living there at my sister's place. She'll be really glad that I'm telling the whole internet about her milk cow.
Thanks.
Probably not even going to listen. But anyway, that is why I've been thinking about it, because she has such an abundance. Now that she's got Ruth there,
yeah,
she has like gallons and gallons a week. You have to figure out what to do with that. I mean, she's had people who are interested in whatever, but I would love to try my hand at some cheese making.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, it would be. So what else do you need, a can or preserve?
Trying to think of what I've run out of. I know I love actually having potatoes on hand. Canned potatoes, they're so easy to make into a breakfast scramble or into like just anything for dinner, like a soup or a pot pie or something.
Do you think would you say that's your number one pressure canning pantry staple?
No, I would say
like in terms of most valuable?
No, I think for me, it's salmon. I love having salmon on hand that's canned.
It's great.
It's hard for me to get since I live in Utah now, but.
Are potatoes number two?
No. You know what's number two?
Yeah, what's number two?
Beans.
Oh, I absolutely, 'cause then you don't have to soak them.
Yes. I love having canned beans on hand. It's like half the price of
a can of beans.
A can of beans at the store, and you can decide what flavors you want to impart. I like to spice mine up sometimes and put like jalapenos in the side, like slices of jalapenos in the side. I love bone broth.
It's good that we're talking about beans. Beans really are suffering from a marketing crisis because they're just not very sexy at all. But what a frugal, filling, helpful grocery item.
Pantry stable.
Yes. 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 I felt when I was planning recipes for the cookbook, I was just thinking like, why do I not cook beans more frequently? They are so cheap. You can get them anywhere. They're just a healthy, cheap, good for you thing. They're just really they're like the apricot suffering from a lack of good marketing.
It's so true. It's so true. It's like it used to be part of everyday diet. And now I feel like
they just sort of fell out of fashion.
Yeah.
Like many things that are out of fashion that were in
that
fashion.
We still love.
Right. Right. We love old fashioned things.
Yeah.
I just thought of something that I did last year that was such a great success that I'm going to do again. And it was kind of out of like not a panic, but I mean, my dad's peach tree was just so many peaches all ripe at the same time. And I just couldn't can them all, as we know is a thing. And I rinsed them and I put them on cookie sheets in the chest freezer and froze them till they were rock hard, which is, I mean, I left them a day or two. Okay, that's just how long they're going to sit in there. And I put them in a big bag.
Okay.
And every day I have a 3-peach smoothie for lunch. And I call it the free peach smoothie. So my husband's at work. Like sometimes he'll take himself out. He'll go eat a paid lunch. Right. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have my free peach smoothie. but when they're frozen all like that, you can take them out. I'll take them out and go curl my hair to go to school where I teach. Okay. Right. And so in 10 minutes, they're just soft enough to cut up, but they're still very frozen. And I use an immersion blender and milk. And sometimes I put in vanilla protein powder, like collagen powder. And having them frozen like that, super great smoothie. Super great. And I didn't have to do anything other than put them in the chest freezer.
You didn't peel them?
No.
And you just blend them up with peels?
Yes. Yes.
Are they pitted?
No. I just slice them off the pit. And then I put the pit on a paper plate that I take out to my chickens.
Oh.
And I eat a 3-peach, free peach smoothie nearly every single day.
I love the idea of this.
It just worked out so well. I mean, you have to want to eat peaches that are frozen, but I also buy bananas when they're really on sale. And then I make my kids banana smoothies too.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll have a banana too, but you could do peach banana, peach and blackberry, peach and protein powder, peach and whatever.
Yeah.
But they just froze really well, rock hard.
Nice.
And the bag was not even that good of a bag. I'm like, Jennifer, what were you doing? This is not a good bag. It was just like the end of the season, you know, you're in a state of desperation. Like, I can't do anything else.
Gotta get this in the freezer.
Yeah, that's all I did. And there's a gift of freezer burn on a couple of them, but they're just in there.
Yeah.
And that was 8 or 9 months ago.
I've never heard of leaving the peels on them. Did you wash them?
I just gave them a rinse. The fuzz is on there. I gave them a rinse. These are organic and like raised with neglect peaches, you know, they weren't sprayed and they're kind of far enough from the road. I don't think they were getting any.
Yeah. Okay.
Frozen peaches. I'm telling you, I don't get fussy about peels about things.
Okay.
So I just immersion blender it up in a quart jar, 3 peaches. Starting from the beginning, you take the peaches out to their 5 or 10 minutes. You slice them off the pit. You put them in the jar. You cover the frozen peaches with just barely enough milk or liquid. If you want to get some other kind of milk. And I do 2 scoops of vanilla collagen sometimes if I'm trying to improve my protein intake for the day. And the immersion in a quart jar.
Wow.
Yep. That's what I'm going to do again. I'm going to repeat this every year.
That's why you're so healthy.
That's why I'm eating a free lunch, a free three peach lunch. Okay. So what else? What else are you going to preserve?
That's it for me. I mean, that's.
We can't top the free peaches.
I know. There's nowhere to go but down if I talk about anything else than the free three peach smoothie.
Okay. So those are the things we are looking forward to preserving. If you have ideas of what you want us to talk about, what other things you want us to explore or share about or try on your behalf, send us an email at perfectlypreservedpodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys, or you can message us on social media. I'm at The Domestic Wildflower, and Anna is at Smart Home Canning.
That's our show. We don't want you to miss an episode, so please be sure to subscribe. If you found this episode helpful and informative, please give our show a rating and review. It only takes a few seconds, and it really helps our show grow.
Follow us on social media at Smart Home Canning and at The Domestic Wildflower.
Email your preserving questions to perfectlypreservedpodcast@gmail.com, and we will do our best to answer your questions on the show.
Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode, released every week.